congratulations, you are on your last session of the Destiny program. Now, hopefully in the previous session, you were able to listen in very intently to see where you need to make some adjustments with regards to creating wealth. And hopefully you've got some good reminders. You know, it's very easy to get wrapped up into the normal routine of life where you don't take the time to discipline yourself to make the little changes that are necessary to create more wealth. So as you listen in now on this next session, you're going to listen in on a consultation as I help an individual with the little things that need to be done. I think you'll get some good ideas from this with regards to creating your wealth. Well, Linda, I want to thank you for participating. I understand you've got some very good questions, and I just wanted to see if we'll start off by having you read them off. I know some of the things that you're going through from a financial standpoint are very, very challenging, so we'll see what we can do. Again, understand that this particular program is not financial advice. We're trying to give you the principles to think by. Okay, Linda, go ahead and read your questions for us.
Well, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now financially. We had a couple of investments that didn't do as well as anticipated.
Okay.
And we're kind of feeling as though we're drowning here, like we're not going to be able to come out of it. So I just was wondering, how do I overcome that? I mean, where do we go from here to overcome this feeling of complete powerlessness, so to speak?
Good question. You had a key word. You said a feeling, to get over this feeling. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that's what this is. So your feeling, unfortunately, is induced by thoughts. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
So what we've got to work on doing is seeing if we can get a mind shift here. Let me give you an example. If somebody is fearful of something, they manifest that in an emotion or a feeling, sweating of the palms, sweating of the hands. We change their thinking, they no longer have that. Now, we're not saying that we can make the problem go away, but we can maybe try to deal with it a little differently or have a different perception to how we deal with our financial challenges. We all have them to some degree. So one of the things that we want to start doing is, first of all, what might be the proper mindset that we need to create to deal with something like this? Then we figure out what that mindset is, see if we can work to that mindset, because if we have the right mindset, we're going to develop the right attitude to keep going forward, even though it's going to be challenging. Then we're going to think a little clearer. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So what we've got to do is see if we can think clearer, have a right attitude or a better attitude about things. And I'm not saying your attitude is bad, but if we can change the attitude so we feel that we're unstoppable, or, you know, I know it's a bad situation right now, but we're going to put our, you know, nose to the grindstone. We're going to make things happen. Your perception of things are different. Your pace at which you push through is going to be different. How you handle everything from here on out is going to be different. So that's what we're going to try to focus on as well. And then we'll work on some more specific details. So let me pretend I'm a friend of yours and you're not emotionally attached to my situation. And I came to you with the same question. Linda, you know, I made a couple wrong investments. Things aren't going well. I really feel overwhelmed. How would you assist them with some of the information, for example, that we discussed on the previous CD? How would you assist them? What would you say to them? And just take all the emotions aside. You're not attached to them emotionally. If somebody came to you with that challenge, what would you say to them?
Oh, boy. I'd probably start out with something like, well, I know how you feel.
Good.
I felt that way myself. But I have learned that by thinking positively about the things that you've done right, that you can eventually overcome the things that seem to be wrong. So change your attitude towards the problem by dwelling on the things that you've done right, and hopefully that will take over, and you'll be able to manipulate these things to have a more positive outcome in the end.
Okay, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. Okay. One thing I didn't agree with is the positive thinking part. You know how I feel about the positive thinking. That doesn't last long. But the attitude part I really like. Now, let's, again, develop some more attitudes. See, what we're having to develop here are mindsets. And what happens is when people get into certain challenges financially, if we don't have the right mindset as successful people, when we get into some problems, if we're not careful, we'll emotionally or financially collapse. So what about very, very successful people like your, you know, your Trumps or, you know, all those big names, your Oprahs, if you will? What happens when they have a financial loss or when they have some challenges financially that might overwhelm them? What do you think they would say or think?
Oh, wow. When they have financial challenges? Wow. I think they probably cut their losses and move on.
How would they think, though? That's an action step. You said, you know, cut off, you know, the problem. But that may not necessarily be so. Sometimes they're so deep into that they may not be able to. But then again, that could be a solution. But that's an action step. How would they think? Now, let me tell you how they would think. It's just like the economy. You know, it goes good for maybe 7 or 10 years, and then what happens usually? It crashes for about 2 or 3 years, sometimes more, sometimes less. Then it goes back up again. So it's a cycle, and they understand that it's a cycle. It doesn't make their bank account get fatter. They still have the challenges, but it's how they handle those challenges. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So even though you are not, you know, in the billions of dollars as these individuals, I still want you to think about how they would think. What are their mindsets? And there is no difference in their mindsets and what you're capable of thinking. So back to your specific issues now. If we could think, Linda, okay, I know I've got myself in a bind. There's no sense to ignore that, right? I mean, we know that we're there. If I get myself in a bind, all right, I'm in a bind. Now, what can I do? Well, there's several things, and I think a lot of times people don't stop to analyze where they're at in a situation and really assess it. There's a couple things you can do. You can move on, you can go bankrupt, you can make some changes. So you need to write down what are your options. A lot of times people don't stop to realize what are your options. And if you write it down, it starts to become a little bit more solid for you. Example, I was working on a project before, you know, getting on here with you, and I was quite a little overwhelmed with it, and I started writing down what needed to be done, and I realized, Linda, there were only 3 or 4 steps that needed to be done. That was it. And in my mind, because I didn't write it down, these ideas are all over the place, and then you become overwhelmed. If you start writing down your options, there are going to be some good, maybe some bad. It could be, you know, your worst-case scenario, and I would write that. What's my worst-case scenario? What could I possibly do? Can I renegotiate some, you know, financial interest or some loans? There's a number of different things. But before we even get to that, we want to develop on paper what are my options, my best case, worst case, and then put that down. Do you see how that can help clear things up a little bit? And I'll guarantee you, let's do that right now. What might be some of your options? Worst case, possible scenarios, and let's put them down. And I'm going to bet, if I was a betting person, Linda, after we write a couple of these down, though your problems will not be solved, I believe that you'll feel a little bit maybe more at ease, because now we have a little bit more direction and we realize that because we have it written down, we can chart our course a little bit. It may be through some rough waters, but at least we're charting it somewhere to get to somewhere. What would you write down?
That's great. I really like that. You want to hear my personal things that I would write down?
Absolutely.
My worst case scenario would probably be to file bankruptcy.
Okay.
That would be probably the absolute worst case scenario.
Put it down. I can hear you typing this all away. You're doing your notes too, aren't you?
You're right. You bet. Okay.
Now hold on there. Hold on. Were you going to go to another one?
Yes.
Okay. Don't go to another one yet. Okay, let's get a mindset for this. Here's how I have conditioned myself. Now, there have been about 2 times in my entire career that I have come, I mean, really, really close to bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. I have my mindset conditioned for that, though I would never want to experience it.
Right.
How do I condition myself for that? I can tell you two names immediately of two individuals who filed bankruptcy who were incredibly, incredibly, incredibly successful. I know who they are. I think about this. I create my mindset consistently because there are going to be times, you well know it, I've done it, and you're in the position because of possibly doing it, we're going to make mistakes. Two people who have gone through bankruptcy, Walt Disney and Henry Ford, from what I understand.
Ooh. Wow.
So, exactly, wow. So I have to get the mindset and understand that, you know, things happen. And yes, it can be embarrassing. Yes, it can be challenging. But often, if you, again, have the right mindset and attitude, look where they took that lesson. Huge. Absolutely huge. Give me your thinking on what I just shared with you.
Okay. You're right. I can see that other people, very successful people, have been in this situation and managed to pull themselves out and become quite successful in spite of it.
Exactly. So it could be a reality, and if it is, and here's another thing that I think about too when I get some of these challenges, you know, throughout my career and life and so on, I have to realize too often when we have challenges, you know, financially or any other, you know, we've got to realize there are 6-7 billion people on this world, Linda. That's a lot of people. And we get so consumed with us, with our problems. This is nothing, and I am not minimizing this. I know I've got you at a point where you're open-minded right now, so I'm going to take advantage of that. But when you stop and think about it, in the realm of the 6 or 7 billion people in this world, and we're so consumed about our own problems, does that make sense? You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
And we get so consumed about us that there are people that are going through it way, way, way more worse than we are. And again, I'm not, and I would never come to a person off the street that comes right to me and says, you know what, I think I'm going bankrupt, it's going really bad. I'm not going to go right up to them and say, you know what, there's somebody out there that's having it worse than you are. That's the positive thinking stuff. That's not going to work. You are already
right.
Telling me that you have the attitude right now because you have agreed to do this with me, that you're moldable and pliable mentally. And that's why I'm throwing this at you. But I'm also setting up a process for you as well. So you give me a little feedback on just this first one that we've talked about now.
Okay. I agree. I love the idea of writing down my options. I do think that seeing it black and white does give me a mind picture of what's available to me. I do like knowing that there are other people. Well, you're right. Just makes me think that other people have survived this. Why would I not? Even if it is the worst case scenario.
Beautiful.
It's not the end of the world. There are a lot of people out there who, you know, I'm not driving to the hospital every day to see my child who has some sort of a terrible illness.
Beautiful.
Or something, you know?
Good. So here's what you're actually doing without realizing it. You are consciously, and eventually it'll be subconscious, but right now you are subconsciously switching mental gears. In other words, before you were thinking, not on a solid basis, but you're thinking, oh, I could go bankrupt. Oh, my God. You know, what are we going to do? Now it's, okay, this is possible. See, now you're going, but look at other people who have been through this. Wow. Before you weren't even going there. It's like, oh, my goodness, the world's caving in. I'm overwhelmed. What am I going to do? Now you're thinking, okay, this is a possibility. We've made our bed. There's nothing we can do here. We haven't gotten to that point. Maybe there is something that we can do. But this is the possibility. But so-and-so happened, I did this for so-and-so, so-and-so went through this, this person went through this, they survived, it doesn't mean it's easy. So now you're thinking about something that may be a little overwhelming or negative, instead of digging your hole deeper and deeper, you're now trying to stop that thought, and then you're switching gears to realize, hey, you know, I'm not the only one here, how can I continue to go through this and deal with it? Make sense?
Right, it does.
Let's go to the second possible option.
Second possible option would be to sell our home and pay off everything and move into someplace much smaller or more affordable at this juncture.
I like that ending word or words there at this juncture, which tells you that if you have to step back a little bit, see, that's what I want to see. A lot of times when people go through challenges financially, they will step back and stay back. Mm-hmm. So you want to realize that this is something that might happen, that you might have to step back, but your attitude is to recover like the two people that we discussed earlier.
Right.
And then we'll go into detail maybe after, you know, we spend some time together, we'll go into detail, you know, personally on this. Okay, that's an option. What do you not like about that option?
Well, we've lived here 10 years. It's where our children have grown.
Okay.
And I, you know, I hate to lose that.
Okay.
It's a great neighborhood. And,
all right.
You know, that's some stability and some normality in our life that, you know, I'd hate to lose.
And that makes a lot of sense because moving is one of the stressful things along with death and divorce, right? So totally
exactly.
Understood. And we'll talk about maybe ways I'll get to chat with you after this. We'll go a little bit more personally on how we can detail with maybe some negotiating and things like that. Any other possible options, Linda?
Yes, we could actually do our best to unload these supposed investments that were going to help us and kind of take our losses, so to speak, and move on. I guess that's the thing.
Okay. So we have three options. Anything else?
I guess the other one would be to work harder to bring more income in to make up the differences.
I like that option.
Okay.
That's my favorite option you've given so far, because that option shows, now you have to have the right attitude for that option.
Okay.
But now that you have this written down, do you see how that option makes so much more sense? And do you see why you would have more of a reason to work on that option because of the other alternatives that you now have black and white right in front of you?
Right. Yes, I do.
Do you see how that becomes a little bit clearer, maybe even more motivating to you?
Sure.
So now you know what your options are. And if you do kind of tighten up a little bit, then we may be able to eliminate all the options previously.
Okay.
So at the same point, there's other things that we need to look at. In fact, in the previous CD, we talked about, you know, figuring out, is there anything that we can do to, you know, cut credit cards with regards to interest rates? Can we negotiate with any creditors? You'd be surprised what people will do to help you if you do the quote-unquote right thing. Here's what I mean by that, Linda. I remember years ago, oh, it's probably been, oh, I don't know, I'm guessing maybe 10 years ago. And I went through a situation. I was renting a decent-sized office from a gentleman. And I know my finances very well, and I know them well in advance. And I knew that possibly 6 weeks or 2 months later down the road, I may have a huge challenge paying my rent. So instead of waiting 2 months later and saying, hey, I'm late on my rent, I can't pay it, and really getting him very upset with me, take a guess what I did. I went to him 2 months in advance when I thought it could be a problem. And then because he's thinking, oh, that's so far away, it's not like, hey, I can't pay you this month and next month. Now that's a huge shock. But if I'm telling him months in advance, he sat me down and thanked me. In fact, he came back to me like the next day and said, you know what? I really appreciate and respect you for coming to me and discussing this with me. I was very fortunate. I never had to not pay him. Everything worked out fine. The money came in. Things, you know, changed and turned around. So my point here is if you know there's going to be a challenge to some degree, why not say something? And I believe it's like, I have a little philosophy, the best time to borrow money is when you don't need it. And I've done this before. I've talked to investors, people I've used, and I said, you know, I'm going through a situation, I might need to bug you for some money 2 or 3 months from now if things don't go right. Now, that's a big difference from somebody saying, oh, okay, as opposed to, you know what, oh my goodness, I just lost $20,000, I need some money really, really fast. Now, how nervous do you feel as a person thinking about, do I lend money to this guy who's like kind of freaking out? What did he do wrong?
Right.
See the difference? Total difference.
Very big difference.
And that takes a mindset because, you know, it's easier to wait till after you can't pay because sooner or later you know they're going to come after you. So you're going to have to say something sooner or later. And it takes a lot of planning. It takes some humility. Believe me, that's a very humbling thing. And it definitely was for me. But I would rather do that and have the respect and at least chart my course knowing that the person I'm asking this mercy for, if you will, or from, that person's been through the same financial challenges as I have. I mean, you know, the majority of people have been through these challenges unless you're, you know, you're born into a family with millions and millions and millions of dollars and they or you never had to work. So the majority of people understand and they will have that much more respect for you because out of 100 people, you're probably the only person, maybe a couple more, that are even considering doing something like that. And you are going to stick out like a really good sore thumb.
That's great.
Just a strategy, just planning. Let me tell you, that one works like you would not believe. Give me some feedback now.
I like that. And, you know, having been through that very thing not too long ago, I mean, we were caught in that subprime thing.
Yes.
And I felt very, very pressured to renegotiate that loan as quickly as possible to get out from under. There were huge penalties involved and that kind of thing, and I wish I had thought of that so that I could have gone to my creditor, you know, our mortgage people earlier and told them what was happening and going on. And perhaps they would have been more willing to work with us. But, you know, as is, we were just scrambling to try to find something, anything to get out from under. So definitely I like that. And I don't mind. I think that I have no problem asking for help. So that's,
good for you.
Yeah.
That's a woman thing more than a man thing, I can promise you that. And take
well,
it that
I just know how I feel when people come to me and they
awesome.
Have a need, I would like to reciprocate for sure.
And you know what? The majority of people are like that, Linda. The majority of people are like that. But at the same point, you know as well as I do, if you have property that you're renting out and the payment is due today, and you give the person 5 days grace, and you look in your mailbox or however you get the payment, 5 days goes past, and what happens? You don't see anything. You try to call the person. They dodge you. Then you finally get a hold of them, and they come up with all these different excuses. And they may be good excuses, but they are excuses. How much more respect and how much more caring would you be able to be for that individual if they called you a week in advance before it was due, and most likely they probably knew or know a week in advance that there's going to be a financial problem? How much more respect would you have? How much more caring and understanding would you be for an individual that would come up to you and say, hey, you know what, Linda, I know my rent's due next week. Even if they came to you 3 weeks, in fact, the earlier you can do this, the more respect and understanding you'll probably get. But if that person came to you a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, and say, Linda, I'm having a little challenge, maybe they even showed you their checkbook, and they have a reputation of never deceiving you or not lying to you or making all these excuses, let me tell you, your hands, your arms will be wide open for them. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Now, at the same point, you have to balance it because it is a business, but, you know, you can put a little human factor in there as long as they're not willing to abuse that.
I agree. That's true.
Next point, Linda, from all this, well, let's go over the list here. Is that pretty much our options we've done, right? That looks like
I
them.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now what we have to do is we have to reflect. This is where, again, we have to look at ourselves honestly, and this is what we're going to do now. And the purpose of doing this is to get a little bit more on top of it for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What I'm going to ask you is, what have you learned?
In just a few minutes that we've talked or overall?
Overall, from the information I've thrown at you, from what you've been through putting this all together, what have you learned? Granted, we know it's been incredibly expensive financially, emotionally, and so on. But we have to, I mean, if we want to grow and we want to be better, do better, become more successful, we need to determine what is it that we've learned. And if we haven't determined that. How can we change? Now, what does it really mean to understand the definition of what have we really learned? The only way you're going to prove to yourself what you've really learned is now you're going to have to chart your course differently. What's going to happen is when you get from out from all of this is you're going to do things a little differently now. There's some things that you may be able to implement right now that you can do differently, but you definitely want to look ahead and see what else you can do differently over the next 5, 10 years, or whatever. So give me some feedback on this.
Yes, I agree. I think that definitely I will think long and hard before jumping into an investment.
Let me interrupt you. Long and hard about what, Linda?
About whether or not this would be good for us, whether it's something that we want to put our money in, or whether we want to mortgage our home, that sort of thing. Because that's really what we did, was mortgaged our home, which had no mortgage, to do these investments. And so that's what put us in the pinch. And
okay.
So I definitely would think long and hard. And I think what I'd do is I'd sit down and make a list in the future before we did that. And I'd make a list of, because that really hit me between the eyes. I would make a list of how I thought the investment would be a help and a plus to
Good.
Us. Could be the possible minuses.
Good.
What would be the worst case scenario should it go wrong or not turn out like we thought?
Excellent.
And what would be the best possible? I think that's really what I do, like the big Ben Franklin thing.
All right.
I think I'd plan much better.
That's where I was going next. You read my mind. So one of the things that we talked about, I think it was step 7, I haven't stopped to take the time to plan. So this
right.
is what you're doing now. You're planning this. And remember, sometimes there's a couple reasons why we don't want to plan. Maybe in the beginning of this whole idea, Linda, the excitement is a reason why we didn't want to plan. We're so excited about owning some properties. Oh, how cool would this be? And because of that, we get caught up in the emotion. We forget what the logic is or take time to look at things logically. Or sometimes we just get so wrapped up into things we don't stop and take the time to plan. And I commend you because you're doing that by listening to this program. And we do have to take time to plan. In fact, what's interesting is a couple people in the office are coming to me now and they're saying, you know what, I got some of the points off of that call and I need to listen to the rest of it. And I'm actually reevaluating in my entire finances by going through everything on this list for myself. So take all that information with you. Take this time and then make this a pattern and a habit. You know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, I encourage people like in relationships every 6 weeks, every 2 months, you know, take a half a day to talk to the person that you care about and figure out what we can do to improve our relationship. What do you need to do? What do you want me to do? And vice versa. We need to do the same thing with our finances. Every, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months, let's take a look at things. Let's look at this list here of 10 things that we have and maybe the additional ones that we added. And where are we weak on? We've got to keep it in front of us. If we don't keep it in front of us and keep it fresh, we're going to get excited for a week or two or a month, and then what's going to happen? We're going to forget about it, and then we're going to lose again.
True. I think that's important to know where we're weak so that we can I can work harder in those areas. Some areas are pretty simple. I mean, you know what you've got coming in, you know
right.
certain things that have to be done, but there are certain areas where we're weak, and I think that you covered them earlier, and that is to totally know what where we have money going out that we don't have coming in. You know, what expenses can I cut? You know, what steps can I take to make sure that these weak areas are shored up?
I think every family or business should have a mock tighten the belt, you know, period. Even though they're making money and things are going well, they should pretend, okay, let's put ourselves on a red alert financially. So where would we cut corners? What would we do differently? And when you start thinking this way, you also have a better appreciation of money, because sometimes, you know, we can become very lackadaisical. We start spending money here, spending money there. Like I had mentioned, you know, I was paying, you know, thousands of dollars on memberships that I didn't even use or take advantage of. And if we do this every so often, you know, get the family, and if we're used to going out every single night or every other night or every Friday, change it up once in a while just to get the mindset that sometimes you got to tighten up. and you've got to change course once in a while. May not be, you know, something that you have to do all the time, but it's, I think it's a good process to get ourselves mentally into, because sometimes, I mean, I think for everybody, if you look at it realistically, Linda, everybody has a cycle as well. Hopefully the cycle's not down all the time for everybody. So we, you know, we have the ups and then we have the downs. And if we don't learn to, you know, calibrate things when things are good, usually when things are bad, it's so much more difficult. And that's when we start becoming more overwhelmed, more discouraged, more depressed, and we just want to throw in the towel. And with your attitude, it looks like you're really not wanting to do that. And that's what I want to see out of this. And good for you.
Thank you.
Any other final questions that you want to throw at me?
Oh, boy. I have to just say that I do feel much better already, because I feel like making a plan
good
really give me a roadmap and something that I can follow. I mean, like you said, it's not putting money in the bank. It does give me a direction, so I don't feel quite so at a loss or helpless or hopeless in the situation. I do feel that there is a way up and out.
When you think about it, when you're helpless and hopeless, can you see a brighter future?
Difficult.
It's very difficult. So all that is doing for you by writing it down, it does let you see that there are at least some options. And now if that can adjust your attitude where you feel a little bit stronger, you have a little bit more of a drive to wake up and fight this. I know for me, and again, this is a whole, you know, it's just an attitude. Not everybody has this attitude, but when things get really down for me, of course, there's times that, you know, like everybody else, I want to throw in the towel too. But I want to try to get to the attitude where, you know what, I want to fight back. I do not want to be defeated by this. What can I do to fight back? And then the next thing that you need to do now is specifically put on paper again specific things that you can do to fight back. So if you have your own business, you know, what can you do to increase your performance so you can increase your sales? Then as a family, where can you cut and shave a little bit? Let the family understand this is temporary. It's a great teaching lesson, by the way. Do you have kids?
I do.
Great teaching lesson for them, to let them realize as they get older, there are going to be times where money's going to be coming in, then there's going to be times when money doesn't come in. And you're going to teach them that they have to learn to tighten up sometimes. And they become more aware of the value of money as opposed to just blowing money on ridiculous things. So not only is this great for you as well, but the kids, if you teach them correctly and let them understand how this all works, you're going to give them lessons for a lifetime, Linda.
Well, thank you. After listening to your CD the other night, I called our cable company and I reduced our cable down to just local stations. And I called our phone company and I reduced our some of the things that we have on our phone. My children came home and were really surprised. But when we got our bill, it was $150 lower this month than it was last month. So
wow.
I thought that was very good.
Good for you. Now, did we talk to the kids why?
Yes, I did. I explained to them that this was, yes, to help us get over this hump.
That good. So when I said why, and you said you gave me the right answer, I didn't want you to say, well, because, you know, things are a little tight. Well, yes, that's one of the reasons they're a little tight. But then teach them a lesson, a life lesson here. There are times where we have a financial hump. Great word, great choice. This is the hump. Now, how long does this hump last? It doesn't last forever. So if, you know, later on you want to, you know, change things to the way they were before, then that's an option as well. But let them see what that is, that it is a hump. It's not forever. And this is something that we just have to go through. It's part of life. When you get older, you're going to go through it once, twice, three times, four times, and so on.
That's great. I'm hopefully they are feeling that, and they're understanding that that's what will happen.
Very good. Well, Linda, I think you're on the right course. You're doing the right things. I want to thank you so much for, you know, spending the time with me on this today, and I wish you the very best. Keep, you know, maintaining that attitude. It doesn't make it easy, but it does give you that drive to constantly keep going, even though it may not be fast all the time. So keep up the good work and definitely keep me in touch. I'd love to hear about your success and let me know as things progress where you're at and, you know, what the future's looking like for you, okay?
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're very welcome, Linda. Okay, we have another Linda today. Linda, if you could give us your question.
Gary, my question is, how do you stay focused and keep it consistent?
Define keep it. Keep what consistent?
Keeping my focus consistent.
Focus on?
Just day-to-day tasks, things I need to get done, but my lose focus very easy, and I tend to, you know, I can maybe be focused one day, but it's not a consistent thing.
And tell me how this is hurting your finances.
Well, I mean, I tend to not, you know, pay bills when they should be. I can totally put it off and think, you know, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And I mean, I just don't have the focus to keep doing it. You know, I also will find myself, you know, not being able to save. Well, of course, I'm not saving money. We're living paycheck to paycheck. But it's just that the focus, I'm just losing, you know, not being able to pay things on time. I'm paying late charges.
You sound like you have the, oh my goodness, can't look at my finances syndrome.
Very much so. That, you hit the nail on the head right there.
Okay. I want you to know that you are not the only person in this world that has that syndrome.
Okay.
And because we have it, in fact, it was interesting. I was just talking to somebody today in my company because we were talking about your call. You know, they were involved in helping putting this together with the two of us. She said the exact same thing. Sometimes you just get so afraid to look at what's going on, and that's normal. I used to fit in that category. It used to bother me. I was in such financial straits that I just couldn't look at it. So what I encourage people to do when it comes to their personal finances, look at it as a company. If you're a company CEO, how dare you not look at your P&L? Even though if it's going bad. If it's going bad, you need to know when it's going bad, how it's going bad, why it's going bad, because only then can you do something to change it, right?
Right.
So what we've got to do is we have to look at the big picture. I believe that you're so overwhelmed because of the paycheck to paycheck thing, you are allowing all this, I guess all these emotions, all these challenges to prevent you from looking at the big picture. The big picture is, I can succeed financially. I can create wealth. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let us say you could look at the big picture. Be realistic. No pie in the sky stuff, Linda. Where would you like to be 3 to 5 years from now financially? Give me a rough idea.
I would just like to have all my debt paid off.
Are you comfortable sharing with us how much debt you have? No is an acceptable answer.
Yeah, I mean, credit cards, I think probably $10,000.
Okay.
And that's not counting, you know, the house and all that stuff, but just maybe $10,000 in credit card.
You know how many people would love to have only $10,000 in credit card debt? They would love you.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't feel good to me.
Well, I can understand. That's good. But what it doesn't do for you, it's not at the point where you're allowing it to motivate you to make some change. That's what we need to do, Linda, because if we don't make change, if we keep doing the same thing over and over, we're not on time, we're not taking this seriously, we're going to continue to pay those late charges, and the debt is not going to go down. So you've just told me something, you're living from paycheck to paycheck, but at the same point, how in the world do you find $15 or $20 to pay late charges? Which tells me if you paid on time, you'd have $10 or $25 here or there to put away in a savings account, even though it would seem very small.
Yeah. I've not looked at it that way.
Another thing that we can do, could you, and this is what I do, could you get somebody to assist you just to hold your hand for a little bit? Because that person is not so emotionally attached. You know what it's like if you ever done a project and you just get so frustrated with it, right? You've done that before, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, how much easier is it to give to somebody else and they don't know all the emotions that you've had behind this project for the last week or two and all the frustration, and they just take it and think nothing of it and work right through it?
Right.
Because they're no longer emotionally attached like you were. Mm-hmm. You just give them an assignment and they just do it. Well, that's what maybe you need to do. Maybe it's a family member, just somebody that's kind of just to make the pain easier for you. Let them, you know, write the check out or let them type it up and show you where you're at. I'm just coming up with different ideas. This may not be one for you, but the principle is, what can we do to soften this? Another thing that you need to do is, we're not looking at the big picture, Linda, and you have to do that. You've got to see yourself out of debt with some financial freedom. 3 to 5 years from now, that is not unreasonable to be out of that debt at all. So what I would like you to do is let's talk a little bit about looking ahead to what it feels like to be out of debt. And the reason I want you to do that with me is because I'm looking for something. I'm looking for some emotional buttons, something that we can do, a button we can push, Linda, that would make it a little bit more palatable for you to be on time with regards to some of these payments, to be able to look at it and say, okay, look at it maturely. That I'm going to hit you in the eyes here. We've got to look at this maturely. We cannot be immature about our finances, Linda. You can't just put it under the covers. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to work. It's not going to get fixed. Just like if you have kids or somebody coming to you for advice, the last thing you would tell them is, hey, just put it under the mattress. It'll solve itself. Mm-hmm. We need to have a more mature attitude about this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So tell me what it would feel like if you were able to eliminate that debt.
I'd have money to put in savings.
Exactly. And what will that do for your future?
Just make things a whole lot brighter. We could afford to do vacations and...
Keep going. I'm feeling it.
Oh, I know.
You're feeling it too, aren't you? Do you feel the relief off your shoulders already?
Yes.
Linda, what we need to do, listen to me, what we need to do, we need to put on paper what the benefits for you would be to be out of debt. Understand this is not a one-year project. Or a two-month project, this is something that we have to be consistent at. We'll talk about, you know, different ideas and things that we can do to work on the consistency part. But why don't we, do you have a piece of paper in front of you by any chance?
I do.
All right, let's write down, I mean, if we could just duplicate that emotion that you had, you know, every single day so you would feel motivated to feel the relief, what it would be to have this debt gone and what you could do. Now, let me switch gears real quickly for you. We're going to get back to writing this information down. And we discussed this in the previous CD. You remember we talked about taking 7/10 of what you bring in and use that to, you know, take care of your family, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
One of the things that you're not doing is, I'm guessing, my little crystal ball here, if you will, I'm guessing that you're not taking the time and spending money, even though you may not have it, to enjoy yourself. Am I right? So now, because of that, you become that much more discouraged, that much more overwhelmed. What I'd rather you do is take a little money, and some people may think this is unbalanced, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a firm believer in this, and I have been this way for years. Even when I never had money or very little, I created a pattern to break this pattern and go and do something and enjoy myself. Because if you don't do that, what is the purpose of your life? Can you imagine being 90 years old, 80 years old, Linda, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, maybe you're dead and you're somewhere, wherever, and you're telling your story. So tell me what your story was like. Well, I just worked from paycheck to paycheck. I never did anything. I raised the family, the kids, and then I died. Wow, what an exciting life you have. See my point?
Yeah.
What's the purpose, Linda?
And
so,
there's no purpose.
Exactly. There is no purpose to it. And another thing it'll do for you is if you get a taste of the good life, and I'm not saying, you know, the caviar and the limousines and the jets. I'm just, you know, the normal things that you as a person should be able to have and appreciate in life. When you get a taste, even if it's just a one night at a hotel with the family, you know, you start saying, wow, this is really nice. What do you think you're going to say next, Linda?
I want more of it.
Ah, exactly. But if you don't taste it, how are you going to know you want more of it? So when you start tasting it, you say, well, how do I get more of it and be reasonable about it and not go into debt more to get some of this feeling? We're going to what? We're going to buckle up a little bit. Does that make sense now?
Yeah.
And when you start buckling up, then let me tell you what it's good. Let me tell you what this does for just your self-esteem. Just the feeling of being on top of things financially and having control and not doing stupid things with your money, like waiting till it's too late to pay the payment. Now you have to pay the late fee. All right. When you start having this control, Linda, you're going to get to taste more of that. And then you're going to be able to be motivated to do even more and create more wealth. So let's go back on that piece of paper. What were we going to put down on that paper?
The benefits of being out of debt.
All right. Let's put some of them down.
Okay.
Tell me what they are as you write them.
Financial freedom.
And I want you to define financial freedom. So that means, financial freedom means what? It means...
extra money to go out and have fun.
There you go.
You know, going out to dinner.
The little things, sure. Mm-hmm.
Vacations.
Absolutely.
Just being able to have a little bit of extra money, so if the kids want to do something special, we don't have to tell them no.
Good for you. And then when you get that extra money, you're going to tell them no anyway, so they understand they can't get everything want. How we switch things.
Yeah.
And also, what about just the feeling of not having that weight?
Yeah.
Could we add, now this I think would be huge, just the feeling of accomplishment. There's so few people that are debt-free. So you would be in a percent or a percentile of people that are just so small. That's huge. You definitely want to go there.
And, you know, we want to get, you know, we want to set ourselves up for a better retirement. The way we're going right now, we're going to have nothing in retirement.
I would put that down for sure. And always remember, it's never too late to start. Let's talk about the consistency. We have to keep this consistent. With regards to consistency, we have to manage our money. We got to know what's going on. Because if you can manage things and you can see where it's going, how it's coming in, then you can plot your course. But if you don't know this, there's no course to plot. And if you plot a course, that takes time. And that takes consistency. But if you're not going to manage everything, if you don't know what's going on, you know, we put our, you know, head in the sand there, there will be no consistency. Do you see so far what we've done, and by applying this, that it can be like maybe an automatic effect by just, it will just make you a little bit more consistent because you're going to be a little bit more focused because you see what's going on?
Yeah.
Additional to that, what I want you to do is I want you to start saving money now. And I don't want you to tell me that, well, how am I going to do that? Because you've already told me you've got a couple extra dollars here and there by paying late fees. So that's where our money's going to start off with. All I'm looking for, and I don't care if it's a dollar a month, Linda, or $500, the amount right now is irrelevant. What am I getting at? I want you to create a what?
A habit.
A habit. You've got to create this habit. You see, if you can think of, no matter where you're at, if you just have an extra $5, I'm being overboard, and maybe for some people it's not overboard, and you could just take that extra $5 and chop it up, what would you do? Take a percent, save it. Take a percent, make it work for yourself by that savings, that 10% we talked about. Then take a percent and reduce some investments, or I'm sorry, reduce some debts, and take another percent and buy something. It's only $5, but if you get in the habit of chopping it up, do this with your kids as well. You know, if you give them $10, even if they're 5 years old, give them a $10 bill, have them go to the bank and get 10 $1 bills so they can learn to divide it up and chop it up. One to make money work for you, another one to give to charity, another one to reduce debt, or when they get debt later on, college, whatever. This is how you want them to think, and this is how you should think. But unfortunately, what happens, and this is where the cycle gets so vicious, Linda, is we get overwhelmed, which you've got this challenge here. You're definitely going to be overwhelmed with all this. And when you get overwhelmed, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then no longer do you have this habit. And that's why it's so important to create the habit. Even though it's tiny, create a little tiny habit, because the worst thing you can do is not have this habit, get overwhelmed. Let's not look at where the bills are at. And what happens now? We actually, as you well know, we end up making things worse and worse and worse. Give me your feedback on what I'm telling you now.
Well, it sounds good.
What about it sounds good?
Well, the whole thing. The whole, you know, yes, I do know I need to focus on things, take my head out of the sand, because that's where it is right now. But then I think I've just developed some very bad habits. And just getting out of these bad habits and just staying focused on the task at hand.
Now, another thing you can do is try to make your life, when it comes to your finances, a little bit more automated, Linda. For example, you might be able to have money drafted out of your checking account automatically. In other words, if it's drafted at a certain time, it's going to force you to make sure there's money there. It's also going to eliminate all late fees.
That's a good idea.
And you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Or you can pay your bills electronically. Something about writing a check and signing it to me is so painful, you know. So, you know, if you do it electronically and it's safe and secure, you just click a button and it gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
That's so what I'm looking for is just simplicity, making it easier, less painful psychologically, if you will. So investigate that. Maybe, you know, as we're talking, you can jot that down as something on your to-do list. Investigate what that's about.
Okay.
See if that's workable for you. But again, make it easy, because if somebody's pulling the money out automatically, somebody, of course, that's reputable companies and so forth, if they're doing that, they're doing the work for you now, and you're not having to do it. You may end up, let's say you write 20 checks a month. If you try to get it all automated, you might only be doing 17 or 16, and there's only four that you have to worry about, maybe the groceries or, you know, the gas or whatever. But now you've minimized in a very simple way. It just takes a little effort to go through this right now. But once it's done, it's done. And you've minimized the pain of, you know, oh boy, I don't want to look at these bills, so let's just put them off. Well, now I've got the late fees and so on. Make sense? And then maybe you could get somebody involved to help out a little bit, just to, you know, if it's to open up the envelope for you. Sometimes people just don't even want to open up the envelope because they know there's a bill in there. Get somebody, as corny as it sounds, get somebody to open it up for you and pull it out and put it in front of you. Who knows? I'll do whatever it takes to make it work that makes it easier on me to get the job done. I have to have that ultimate goal, and I think this is what this has given you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me a little review now of what we've talked about, where you need to make a little shift in your thinking, and then what might be some of the steps that you have to implement so we can make these changes. Go ahead and share that with me, Linda.
Well, the automatic payments, I'm going to really look into that, and then the electronic banking, because I think it is, it sounds weird, but it's, yeah, writing the check, I am feeling like I'm giving away money, but the electronic payment, it doesn't feel like it's money. You're just shifting things.
Yeah, and it's so painful.
I am going to look into, yes, it's not as painful.
And because it's so painful, you don't want to do it.
Yeah, and the helper I think is a good idea too, because for me it's not opening the envelope, it's going and getting the mail.
There you go. Okay, so now we figured out. So go get a dog for free at the pound and train it to get the mail. No, great observation. Something simple sounds quirky. You mean you can't go to the mailbox? We all have those little painful things that we don't want to do. Great observation. Keep going.
And I hadn't realized that until you said get a helper to open the envelopes. It's like, wait a minute, it's not opening the envelopes, it's the mailbox for me. So, yeah. And then, I don't know. I mean, just, I guess maybe setting up a schedule and doing
good.
It maybe the 1st and the 15th.
Beautiful. Oh. And taking little bites. You know, maybe the 1st and the 2nd do 10 minutes on the 1st, 10 minutes on the 2nd. Don't make it so overwhelming. Just take it in little tiny pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's another option for you.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? What about the big picture now and reducing debt and putting some savings together?
Well, I feel better about it. You know, even if it's just, you know, $20, you know, a paycheck.
Good.
You know, and being able to get that started. But I am excited. I would like to start saving and just be able to have a nest egg to fall back on in case of emergencies. But right now, in case of emergency, we rely on the credit cards. And that's only making things worse.
Exactly. Another thing I want you to do is negotiate those rates. Negotiate those rates on those credit cards, huh?
The interest rates?
Absolutely.
And do they really do that?
Oh, do they really do that? I should probably, I wish I could, you know, have you listen to me negotiate this stuff. Oh, I love doing it. Like I had mentioned on the previous call, I got originally 3 months, and then I took it to 6 months interest-free on a $36,000 loan once. That's huge.
Yeah.
But yes, they really do that. And then when they tell you they can't, that is not true. They can run it up the flagpole and just tell the person, look, if you can't do it, I need somebody that can. Be a little sturdier. What I do sometimes, you might want to start off and say, look, you know, especially when, you know, like if there's a certain time the economy's not good or something, you say, look, everybody's going through a rough time. Unfortunately, I'm one of them. I need your help. Here's why I'm calling. Can you please help me? Keep using words like that. Please help me. Here's what I need. My interest rate is so-and-so. Can you please do something to help me out? Because I'm feeling buried. I'm sure you felt that way before. then they'll do something. Then ask them for more. Can you do something better than that, please? Then if they say no, ask for a supervisor. Could you please give me a supervisor? And then when you get that, they'll negotiate it for you. I've had it chopped in half. I've, like I said, zero. I mean, you'd be amazed. Then why not 7 days later call them again? Now, they're going to have a note of that, but you can tell them that just wasn't enough for you. Linda, you'll have a ball with it. And then when you get in the habit of being able to negotiate this, it becomes a lot of fun. And then 6 months from now, if you still have the cards, which you may, you know, negotiate it a little bit. You can negotiate not paying annual fees. You remember years ago, every credit card used to have an annual fee. There are very few cards that now have annual fees, but look for that just in case. I've gotten to the point where I've accepted credit cards. Now, you have to have a lot of discipline for this. There's credit cards that will give you zero interest or maybe 2.99 interest for 9 months. Now, it'll go up very high after the 9 months, but you've got to know what to or when the time is. So in 8 months, you call them and renegotiate it, or you get another credit card that gives you 0% interest or very low, and you switch it again. But you're, as long as you're doing this and you're doing it strategically, you don't want to do this to have more debt, but you have to do it strategically. Also, keep in mind that every time you get a credit card, you know, that goes against your score. So these are things you want to think about. But I think, depending on the situation, I would rather that than, you know, be paying a lot less money, having a lot more control of my finances. My credit would still be good, depending on how you work this, and you're in total control here.
And when you negotiate the credit card interest down, are you able to still use that card?
Absolutely. Right then and there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good to know.
And then consider, when you get an offer in the mail, read it closely. But if you can transfer, I've done stuff like this all the time, absolutely. And I have a tremendous amount of credit. It's always been a backup for me, just in case. And this is how you negotiate all this. And then when your credit card is paid off, you know, you may want to consider, you know, keeping it open. Now, there's some, you know, reasons why you want to keep it open. You don't want to keep it open, because sometimes when you close it or keep it open, that goes against points and all that, and we're not here to discuss all that. You can do some more research on that. I'm not here to advise you on that. But if you have this available credit, your credit card is zero balance, you know, you may find, who knows, there may be somebody that wants to sell something very quickly because they have to go overseas and they're giving you a great discount, and you know, because of what it is, it's something like an antique that you're interested in. You could double your money, but you don't have the cash. You just don't know. So there's so many ways that you can work this where you're in control, Linda. Well, congratulations again. You have finally concluded not just this series on wealth, but the entire program. A lot of information here. Hopefully with this particular series, you saw some ideas and things that you need to do in your personal life and in your personal finances that you can do now. Take action now, make little changes that will amount to great results in the future. So what do you do with all the other information from this program? Well, remember, you must apply. And to apply, you have to remember what it is that you need to apply. Repetition is the mother of retention. Let me repeat that. Repetition is the mother of retention. Make it a point every few months or so to go over this program, listen to it again, and even in shorter intervals, make sure you go through that workbook of yours and kind of thumb through there. See where you're at now, where you've improved, what changes you've made, and maybe, again, look for the areas that you need to keep working on. Don't forget, all of this is not by chance, it is a choice. Continue to make the choice to take full control of your life, and now you've got the secrets to your destiny.